Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. This is the broadcast for March the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we believe the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is the blueprint for liberty. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders. What are the great solutions we still have at our fingertips? We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The only question left is, will the deep state criminals allow us to peacefully restore the country? Time will tell. I'll tell you that. We'll keep an eye on the ball just for you. Last hour, we had Brian Rust on, RustCoinAndGift.com. We talked about the Honest Money Report. We talked about Russia disruptions, fuels, nickels, 90% spike. We talked about it was so bad the London Metal Exchange had to suspend nickels trading as prices skyrocket. We talked about Biden signed an executive order on digital currency. He wants to take control, baby. In January, the Federal Reserve announced it would seek public comment on whether to issue a, quote, fully digital U.S. dollar. Wow. Last month, the Justice Department announced his, quote, first director of the National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team, Un Young Choi, will lead up the team and who will be charged with prosecuting criminal cases related to the use of cryptocurrency and digital assets. They didn't say the criminal use. They just said the use. Very weird wording, to say the least. They're coming for the crypto folks now, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Well, they say we've got to have anticipation of a, quote, regulatory crackdown, along with rules requiring what they call tougher scrutiny of digital transactions. Why? Well, because Russia's using cryptocurrency to avoid sanctions, don't you know? All right, we also talked about these two stories relating to vote fraud, and we covered them. There's no vote fraud, except for now there's two stories in the mainstream press relating to vote fraud there. The folks that are trying to stop vote fraud, they say, are committing vote fraud. See? That's how it works, right? Well, there's good news, though. Kurt Crosby, our good buddy, just emailed me. Headline says, quote, New York court dismisses Spermatics lawsuit. It's a $2.7 billion lawsuit against Sidney Powell. Can you believe that? A $2.7 billion lawsuit? Wow. Anyway, they had to dismiss it, I guess. Sidney Powell's fine now. The judge dismissed all claims against former Trump attorney Sidney Powell and the Fox host Jeanine Pearl also. The court held that it had no jurisdiction over Ms. Powell. Amen to that, right? So the judge dismisses it. Now, people like me, people who are doing a great job over at frankspeech.com and other places, are telling the truth on the lawsuit. They're saying, hey, got dismissed. That's a headline in and of itself. That is huge news. Why is it huge news? Well, number one, the court has no jurisdiction over Sidney Powell is huge news, right? No jurisdiction? Think about that. But secondly, it's a huge news story because the mainstream press singled out Sidney Powell and had headline after headline after headline. Basically, this attorney is going to get crushed by the government for her fraudulent claims. Now it turns out the courts say we don't even have any jurisdiction over her, and they dismissed the whole thing. So when you make it a separate headline in the news to point out Sidney Powell and attack Sidney, and now this is completely dismissed with no jurisdiction, it needs to be a headline in and of itself as well to kind of answer the truth in the case, if you will, right? But the mainstream press is so dishonest. Here's what they've done. They have created a headline, and it says, the headline is this: judge drops $2.7 billion Smearmatic suit against Sidney Powell. That's the headline, okay? But when you start reading the headline, the author of this article is constitutional nobody. Then they say this, that in New York, a state court ruled on Tuesday that Smearmatic could pursue its $2.7 billion lawsuit, defamation lawsuit, alleging that Fox News, Rudolph Giuliani, and others falsely claimed that the maker of electronic voting systems had helped rig the 2020 U.S. elections in favor of Joe Biden. Now, did you hear what I'm saying? So they start out and they tell you that Sidney Powell had everything dropped. That's the headline. But when you start to read the article, it says, hey, Fox and Giuliani and everybody who tried to dismiss this suit got overruled and the judge is continuing it. New York Supreme Court Justice David Cohen is his name, rejected the requests of Rupert Murdoch's Fox News and Fox Corporation, not to mention Maria Bartiromo and former anchor Lou Dobbs for dismission of Smearmatic's claims against them. Cohen revealed that Smearmatic could pursue some claims against Giuliani, who worked as an attorney for former Republican President Donald Trump. Okay, so they do this. They say, hey, this thing is dismissed against Sidney. Then they go on and tell you that the suit can progress against Giuliani and everybody else. And then later down in the story, they say the judge dismissed all claims against former Trump attorney Sidney Powell and host Jeanine Pirro. So this is what I mean by they misrepresent the facts. If you look at the headline, you go, oh my gosh, Sidney Powell's off. But when you read the story, the head of it basically says, hey, the suit can move forward against Giuliani and against all these people. Well, that's what happened. That's factual. But the way they write the story makes you believe, well, the case is legitimate. Everything's going forward. Spermatic's right. The judge agrees with them. But they bury this Sidney Powell dismissal in the way of the wording to where you're confused. You think, oh, that headline's weird. The case is progressing. According to Smearmatic, the defendants fabricated a story alleging that its technology helped Biden steal the 2020 election from Trump using its technology. Yeah, they say Fox News did it to boost ratings. Yeah. Now, the judge did not rule on the merits, but said that Fox might have turned a blind eye to the outrageous claims. So inherently improbable that it has disregard for the truth. Anyway, the story goes on. But all I'm telling you is when you look at the headlines in the mainstream press, everything they're saying is, hey, the case goes forward against Giuliani. The case goes forward against Fox News. They admit to the Sidney Powell dismissal, but not really directly. They kind of bury it in confusing language that makes you believe the case is continuing. Well, I have a view on this. The reason that the case is continuing is because they can probably barbecue Giuliani and Fox and stuff. But they can't barbecue Sidney because she's got too much evidence, and they don't want to take her to court. What they want to do is dismiss it in an effort to make sure that her evidence never sees the light of day. So let's pursue the deep state folks, Giuliani, Fox News, because we can control the outcome. We can get egg on their face, but backhandedly reward them, and we can do whatever to make it look in the public's eye like, yeah, Fox, you were outside of the bounds on this one, but don't worry, there's no vote fraud. We're all good in the end. But if you take on Sidney Powell, you're going to be forced to admit to and deal with all the things that she's got in terms of evidence on the facts, the affidavits, the evidence, all that. You're going to be forced to bring this stuff forward. They don't want that done. So what you do is you shut down Sidney and dismiss it, which I call a win, but it's almost a hollow win, ladies and gentlemen. Not because Sidney's not right, but because now she can't get the evidence in front of people to drag out the truth and show how criminal your government is. New York court dismisses Smearmatic's lawsuit, $2.7 billion against Sidney Powell. The judge dismissed all claims against former Trump attorney Sidney Powell and host Jeanine Pirro. The court said, we don't have any jurisdiction over Jeanine. So that's the way they get out of it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way they dishonestly get out of it. And now they can just bury everything. They can bottle it up. They can, yeah, classify everything or put everything under, quote, gag order or whatever they do. I'm not an attorney. I'm just telling you. Okay, and it reminds me of what happened in the Ammon Bundy case. I'm glad that Ammon Bundy and those guys are let free and they're guilty of nothing. But again, the court in Las Vegas literally was incensed at how criminal the FBI was and dismissed the case. But what that means is Ammon Bundy can't force on record all the criminal provocateurs that were involved there. Ammon Bundy can't force on record how criminal the government is and eventually push for accountability. It's all dismissed, so no harm, no foul, government side, if you will. Well, same thing with this spermatic discussion about, you know what? Hey, now Sidney can't get all this information in front of the courts and eventually in front of the people. Because it's all buried, it's all shut down. So on one hand, I'm delighted that the truth comes out that Sidney is not guilty and they don't have jurisdiction over her or Jeanine Pirro. The negative, though, in my mind, is that we can't force the proof and then we can't countersue and we can't really carry out greater discovery on the truth. That's my concern with it. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm saying to you, the mainstream press is dishonestly reporting this. You read a headline that the case is dismissed against Sidney Powell, but then when you dig in, you find out the case is going forward for Rudy Giuliani and all kinds of people, Fox News and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what they've done is they've strategically manipulated this in the press and in the courts, ladies and gentlemen, saying they don't have any jurisdiction over Sidney Powell and dismissing all claims against her and Jeanine Pirro. The problem with that is they've been sidelined now and all the information will be bottled up and manipulated to where, hey, there was no vote fraud. Sidney Powell, it was dismissed because we don't have jurisdiction over her, but her claims are unfounded. We'll just pound that in the media and lie. But the truth is Sidney Powell then can't get her information and can't force via discovery and everything else. You can't get whistleblowers to testify. You can't, because there's no case anymore. And Fox News is part of the deep state, so they're not going to really take it on. They're just going to go, golly, I guess we kind of reported out of turn. We got egg on our face, it kind of thing. And Giuliani and others are going to keep battling. But in the end, you know, hey, what's going to happen there? Nothing. So what they're really doing is manipulating this case. And really, I wish the Sidney Powell case went forward so she could get discovery, so that she could carry out the truth. I believe Sidney Powell's innocent. I agree with that point. But now they've chopped her off at the knees in terms of her being able to get the facts out on the table. Now, I pray that she can countersue or do something. I don't have the legal mind she has, so I hope she's got more up her sleeve. But I commend Sidney for her hard work, for her honesty, for her integrity. I commend her for her discovery and her effort to get the truth on the public's radar, if you will. I hope she keeps going. I'm glad that this was dismissed, because at least she's not under now a $2.7 billion concern. But like Ammon Bundy, I'm glad he's out and he's free and he's guilty of nothing. But see, the government strategically does this to make sure there's no transparency. There's no accountability here. You can't find out what really happened because it's all bottled up. Anyway, I don't want to go on about this forever, but I do think this is something serious that we need to really understand. We really need to understand this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's serious, right? All right, Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, emailed me, ladies and gentlemen. And it's kind of an interesting headline from Rand, right? Dear Sam, Biden's economy is about to become a nightmare. And now the American people have to suffer the consequences for his bad decisions. Did you think prices were bad before? Wait until you see how bad they get over the next several weeks. Gas prices are going to skyrocket. Food prices are about to go up. Basic life necessities are about to become unaffordable for many people. And it was also avoidable for Joe Biden. He could have ignored radical left-wing activists and built the Keystone Pipeline to make America energy independent. He could have continued the common sense policies of President Donald J. Trump that prevented war from breaking out in the Ukraine during the Trump administration. But of course, Joe did none of those things, continues Senator Rand Paul. And working class Americans will be the primary victims of Joe's incompetence. See, I think there's where Rand Paul's wrong. I mean, I get what he's saying, and I agree that Joe's incompetent, but look, this is a strategic takedown of America. This isn't just the incompetence of an old man. This is a strategic reset of the world's economies. This is an intentional takedown of the United States, the greatest country on the face of the earth. This is the shot across the bow of all freedom-loving people everywhere. They say Biden's left-wing donors in the Hamptons just don't care. They have more than enough money to weather this economic storm, right? Rising gas prices are a drop in the bucket and mattereth not to them. It's ordinary people like you and me that'll have to pay the price. But Biden's not looking out for you, ladies and gentlemen. He's looking out for the wealthy elites that spent billions to get him elected. Joe Biden may not care about how his policies impact you and me, but we do have one tool in our back pocket, our votes. And we have an excellent opportunity to use our votes to get America going in the right direction again, says Rand Paul. A resounding defeat for the Democrats in this year's elections will show that the consequences of ignoring us as Americans is critical. Now, right now, Rand Paul says, I'm up against a Democrat machine in my home state that's looking to take me out. They think they have me on the ropes, but I'm ready to prove them wrong. And with your help, you and I will show them. And here comes. I'm asking you to stand with me today. And here comes the big old plea for cash by Rand. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be rude to Rand Paul, because I agree with a lot of what he does. I really do. I have tremendous respect for him compared to others. I get all that. I understand all that. But you know what? Quit begging me for money all the time. You will never compete with the deep state when it comes to money, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how much money you spend. They'll just print more and spend more than you. I don't care how much money. Okay, you and I have to be transparent about the givings to politicians that we do. And we're ratcheted down to a certain amount of money. Well, the deep state thugs have all kinds of entities that allow them to move money around without accountability, without limits, without transparency, to the point where you will never compete with them on a funding scenario. Never. Because we don't know where their money comes from. For all we know, the government prints it and then gives it to these clowns through all these secret entities that eventually, hey, it funds the politicians. We don't have any idea. You can't trace the money. Because they found ways around the election laws and around the finance regulations and everything else, okay? So, look, Rand, I don't mean to be rude, but begging me for money, having me take money out of my wallet for my family and turn it over to you so you can stay elected is a fool's errand, my friend. It's an absolute fool's errand. Now, do I think we need to do something? Yes, I do. Do I think we can create accountability? Yes, we can. But it isn't going to happen by me sending a bunch of money to Washington, D.C. in Rand Paul's pack or pocket or whatever to help him stay elected. They'll just commit vote fraud, or they'll just outspend and outfundraise him to the point of no return. With unlimited money, they can put unlimited armies on the ground to carry out their bidding of vote fraud, of tabulation manipulation, of I can go on and on, right? You will never win that battle. The only way you can win that battle, Rand, is if you get enough people on the ground in your district, in your areas, to really put foot soldiers on the ground. And then the only way is if we can circumvent the mainstream press to tell the truth about you and the good that you're doing. So I'm not debating that we need to keep you in Congress, Rand. I think you're a good guy, and I think the truth is on your side. I think you've done more than almost anybody for true transparency and accountability in government. There's no doubt about it, Rand. But you know what? When you want me just to take money out of my wallet to fund your campaign and 56 campaigns around the country, you and Donald and others are on a fool's errand. Because the deep state is in bed with the Democrats. The Republicans and the Democrats of the deep state are against you and I. And they've got unlimited funding at their fingertips. Folks, fool me not, my fair weather friends. Deceive me not. Because you know what? You will never win that money fundraising game. By golly, we're behind in the fundraising. If I don't turn in this much money for my third quarter or my whatever results, they're going to think that I'm weak and that I don't have the support that I need. Let's show them we can turn in a lot of money. They're laughing at that game. They're laughing at that idea that, oh, you know what? You almost got elected. You should just try again. So close, but no cigar, my friends. And they go on and to the point of ad nauseum. It's sickening, folks. It makes you want to puke. And then Rand emails me, Sam, why don't you take money out of your wallet for your family there? Even though gas prices are about to eat you alive there. And it's all the fault of Joe there. Look, Republicans and Democrats together as the left, right wing bird of prey has been abusing us. Pat Buchanan highlighted that reality that, look, it's the left and right wing of the same bird of prey, folks. They're deceiving us. And Rand and others, I believe, are falling for this, where all you got to do is give them a few more dollars. All we got to do is get a dollar from 30 more people in your zip code, Sam, and we can go ahead and take them on. No, you can't. That isn't the way you're going to do it. If we give you $2 million or $20 million, Rand, or $200 million, Rand, they're still going to commit vote fraud just the same. Look, Donald Trump has plenty of money. Didn't do him a lot of good with the vote fraud. Now, did it there, Rand? Believe it or not, Donald Trump's raised more money on the backs of the American people after he lost the election than you can imagine. Your father, Ron Paul, back in 2008 and 2012, literally raised $6 million in one day. He barely made it into the debates, much less real accountability in the election cycle. So I'm not downing these people. I get that they're the better guys in the batch, right? But folks, if you believe that we can just take money from our hard-earned wallets and give it all to them, and that's going to fix America, I'm telling you, you are sadly mistaken. Quick pause, our guest in seconds. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Although not authorized to set any policies, Vice President Kamala Harris is in Poland with President Andrzej Duda to discuss Russia's violent invasion of Ukraine. Speaking at a press conference, Vice President Harris.
I want to be very clear. The United States and Poland are united in what we have done and are prepared to do to help Ukraine and the people of Ukraine.
Polish President Duda, via a translator.
Attacking Georgia in 2008 and attacking part of Ukraine in 2014, I knew that this appetite, this imperial appetite, will grow.
Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov on Thursday said that Russia's economy was experiencing a shock and that measures were being taken to soften the impact. He told reporters it's very hard to forecast anything. The Moscow Exchange stock market remains closed. USA Radio News.
This report sponsored by IBM. Supply chain shortages and backups have been felt across the world, and one cause for this might surprise you. The new X-Force Threat Intelligence report from IBM Security reveals that ransomware attacks on the manufacturing industry have contributed to a heavy burden on supply chains, with unpatched vulnerabilities becoming the leading cause of manufacturing attacks. Charles Henderson, head of IBM X-Force.
Criminals are taking advantage of our fragile supply chain by targeting manufacturing organizations with ransomware. We'll soon start to see the costs of attacks passed down to consumers. And while businesses need to focus on managing vulnerabilities, consumers should be wary of the links they click. Criminals love to impersonate consumers' favorite brands.
The world's most popular tech brands are commonly spoofed to gain access to consumers' personal info, so personal security is of the utmost importance. To learn more, visit ibm.com/security.
The U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday pushed through a $13.6 billion aid package for Ukraine. Also included is $1.5 trillion to keep the U.S. government programs operating through September 30th and avoid an agency shutdown this weekend. The man that received a pig heart a couple of months ago to survive has died.
David Bennett, who received a pig heart in January in place of his own failing one, has passed away. It's not clear yet what precisely caused Bennett's death, according to the University of Maryland's Medical Center, where he received the transplant on January 7th and had been recovering since. His condition began deteriorating over the last few days. Bennett was the first patient to ever receive an animal organ genetically modified to prevent rejection in a person. The investigative surgery, though it only added just over 2 months to Bennett's life, informed the field of xenotransplantation, which hopes to solve the human organ shortage. Reporting for USA Radio News and the proud recipient of a human heart transplant, I'm John Hunt.
USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Wow, have we got a barn burner topic to discuss right now. Our guest, his name is Nan Su. And Nan Su happens to be a senior China and Asia writer for The Epoch Times or TheEpochTimes.com. We're going to have a discussion about China's goals with regard to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Nan Su, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Oh, Sam, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, sir. So tell me a little bit about your background. Who is Nan? Give us kind of a little thumbnail on you, and then we'll get into this incredible article you wrote about the intentions of the Communist Party in China.
Yes, I've been writing and also doing news commentating for the Epoch Times ever since 2006. So been practicing journalism, the Epoch Times, at Epoch Times, we practice so-called traditional journalism, and we gave people facts because we believe people smart enough to make their own judgment once they have the facts.
Amen to that. Are you from China?
Yes, originally 1989. I came here in January of 1989 as a foreign student, and that was like about 5 months before the Tiananmen Square massacre, which was June 4th of 1989.
All right, so you've been here for a long time, and hey, communism just is not acceptable in our way of life. How old were you when you came to the United States?
I was 20-something.
Okay, so a young adult. I don't need the exact amount of age. So you grew up in China, though, and you understand firsthand what living under a communist nation is like versus living under or living with American ideology, right?
That is correct. That is correct. And June 4th, 1989, the Tiananmen Square massacre was actually the event that actually wake me up and let me start looking for freedom and how precious freedom was.
Wonderful. Anyway, I bring that up so people understand. No better person to report on what's happening in China than someone who grew up there and understands the culture and the situation. And then Nan Su, living in America as long as he has, becoming a senior China and Asia writer, reporter for the Epoch Times. Incredible insight on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. So China has goals with regards to the Russian-Ukraine battle. And so Nan Su wrote an article, Beijing can't wait for escalation of Ukraine crisis. Ooh, that's scary, Nan.
Yes, that's the article I wrote at the end of January. It was published on February the 3rd, just one day before the opening of Beijing Olympic.
All right, help people understand this then, because listen, Beijing is excited about this evolution of events. Joe Biden and crew falling directly into the hands of the Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, has strategically positioned itself to take advantage of this situation, right?
That is correct. See, the reason, there are a few things. If you look at Beijing's behavior, you will understand why Beijing couldn't wait for the escalation of Ukraine crisis. Keep in mind, I wrote that actually before the invasion of Ukraine. Now, there are a few things. Now, number one, when we talk about the economic sanctions, the biggest sanctions that we the Western world imposed to Russia was to kick Russia out from the SWIFT, right?
So people understand, the SWIFT being virtually the international banking cartel, if you will, right?
That is correct. Well, if you are not a member of the SWIFT, you're not be able to do international trade, pretty much. Now, but however, China and Xi Jinping, Chairman Xi, and Putin, they have been talking to each other in negotiation to establish an independent financial system that's outside of SWIFT in the second half of last year. That's number one thing. And number two thing, what's the another biggest economic sanctions the Western world imposed to Russia? That's, you know, we ban, you know, the oil from Russia, right? But however, now on February the 4th, the day, actually February the 3rd, the day just right before the opening of Beijing Olympic Games, Russia and China signed a total 15 economic agreement, and China agreed to purchase $800 billion worth of oil and gas from Russia. So they're doing the preparation. They know what's going to happen after Russia invaded Ukraine. And also, in January, on January 23rd, China sent 39 military airplane approaching Taiwan, and North Korea conducted 7 missile tests, including 2 of the tests were hypersonic missile tests. You know, guess who gave the hypersonic missile technology to North Korea? It was China. And, you know, without China's permission, North Korea wouldn't have done that. Now, keep in mind, you know, January it was the month just right before the opening of Beijing Olympic Games. So it was the time China not supposed to doing all this, China and North Korea, right? It's supposed the time that the Chinese Communist regime will operate its propaganda machine in its full force to tout their contribution to the world, to tout how they can help the world to reach the common destiny of mankind. That's the language of China's Chairman Xi. Now, why they are doing that? Why they are doing all these things just 1 month prior to Beijing Olympic Games? Because they trying to send a signal to Putin. And, you know, when Putin pushed to the West, China and North Korea will have Russia's back on the East. And in return, they want the Russia support China when CCP pushing to the East and South, you know, China's expansion for the next 30 years, it's really towards the ancient Pacific area. Now, especially South China Sea and Taiwan, because total one-third of international trade goes through South China Sea, so which makes South China Sea the lifeline for Japan's economy. Now, if China controls the South China Sea, and they they will force the United States to rewrite its entire Indo-Pacific strategy, because the key element, the most important element of the United States Indo-Pacific strategy, is Japan.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear about this. What Nan is saying is this. The Communist Chinese Party has long-term strategic plans and goals. And the idea is to literally let Joe Biden be the pawn as he leads NATO in creating tensions over Russia and Ukraine. China then working with Putin, making friends with Putin. Every time we sanction and shut down or shut Russia out of the world, China backdoor says, well, partner with us then. If NATO and the United States aren't your friends, we will be. And what they're doing is creating a strategic alliance to say, hey, Russia can protect us on the north. We can go ahead and have their back against the evil United States. And it's a long-term play by the Communist Party because they really want to become the hegemonous nation. They've got a plan to get that done by 2049, the 100th year of the communist nation of China. And they've got this initiative to make that happen, ladies and gentlemen. So our guest, just so you're aware, Nan Su, he's with the Epoch Times, doing a phenomenal job, and Beijing is pursuing its China 2049 initiative. Nan?
Yes, that is correct. See, China is pushing to the east and the south, and now they need someone to back them up.
Let's take a quick pause, Nan. We'll be right back in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. This incredible interview continues international strategic discussions. What's happening? Joe playing the puppet, folks, being betrayed. He's on a fool's errand. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nan Su riding shotgun on the show today, breaking down what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese Communist Party has a long-term strategic plan. Anytime America does anything, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, has a plan to win over converts, to partner with countries, and eventually lock the United States out of the hegemonist role. We shouldn't be in it in the first place. Our founders warned us of foreign entanglements, but we insist, right? But China's going to take advantage of that. Nan Su breaking this down. He's a senior China and Asia writer for the Epoch Times. Right before the pause, we were highlighting, look, Beijing is pursuing its China 2049 initiative. They've got a long-term plan for this, and everything that's happening on the global stage is really aiding and abetting the Communist Party in their quest. Tell us about the 2049 initiative and the quest, will you, Nan?
China pretty much figured out without further political reform, they're not going to be enjoying the investment as well as a technology and consumer market from the Western world in the next 30 years of their economic development plan, like what they did in the last 20 years after China joined WTO. Right, China had their GDP grow 10 times from 2020 to 2020, from 2001 to 2021.
Literally in 10 years, they tenfold increased their economic capability, if you will.
20 years, from 2001 to 2021. After they joined WTO in 2001, until now, total economic GDP grow 10 times. Now, by the way, Russia is just 1/10 of China. It's actually a little bit less than 1/10 of China's GDP. So if you're thinking about who is the bigger threat, you need to have that big picture there. Russia's GDP is equal to GDP of one province in China. So that's kind of a comparison you need to have in mind when you talk about the level of threat. Now, China, because they know in the next 30 years they wouldn't be able to enjoy the investment and technology and consumer market from the Western world like what they did in the last 20 years. So they have a plan. So they want to build. They want to build a global system that's actually independent from the Western world. It's an alliance. It's kind of a global alliance, similar to Warsaw Pact. Anybody still remember Warsaw Pact? That's the alliance controlled by Soviet Union. That's a bunch of Eastern European communist countries during the Cold War. Now, except that the nature of the Chinese new global alliance system, it's a little different than Warsaw Pact. Because Warsaw Pact was like pretty much a military alliance based on the common ideology that there was communism. Now, China's new goal is to build a global alliance, mainly consists of the Southeast Asian countries. For your information, if you don't know, Southeast Asian country is the number one trading partner now already with China, and EU was number two, and the United States was number three, actually. So they are on their way, you know, doing all this. So they are focused on Southeast Asia countries, the South American countries, African countries, and Central Asia countries.
In other words, what you're saying is it's like Warsaw Pact 2.0. In other words, they're taking this general war pact or military pact and now turning it into a super pact, if you will, based on all things, economy, everything, really. It's like 2.0 or 10.0 of the Warsaw Pact, but led by China, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. Now, the way they control all these new alliances they are building, see, think about it. In the olden days, the Soviet Union controlled all the Eastern European communist countries by KGB, right? So what China is doing is they will control, or they try to control these countries through technology now. One typical example is China already built the entire internet and information system for North Korea. Now, China's technology come with a famous backdoor, right? So once they build the technology system for you, there will be no secret, you know, for any nation that use China's technology. So that's how they control this country. And also, and they the folks, now they trying to build a very strong economic tie with this country as the base of the alliance. China's Belt and Road Project, that's the typical way they try to control these countries. The Belt and Road Project originally was designed to solve the overcapacity problem of China's construction industry. China's residential building, it's like 25% vacancy. The office building was 30% vacancy. So they try to export their extra capacity of their construction industry. Now, what they do is they will come to these developing countries. They will build the bridges, airports, and public facilities, and they will
virtually
bring
a total infrastructure, right?
Yeah, the total infrastructure. Yes. That it's correct. So, but they don't help your local economy. The problem is what they do is they will bring their own man, their own equipment, their own money, everything from China. And then once they finish the project, once they leave, this country, this nation will own China a big debt. So that's called debt trap diplomacy. That's another name, famous name for this Belt and Road Project. So they will, all these countries, once they down this Belt and Road Project with China, yeah,
the whole point here, ladies and gentlemen, is nation building equates to allegiance, right?
Well, pretty much that's what it is. They will control because they own big debt,
right? Yes.
You know, from China, so they will listen to Beijing, right? So that's how they're building their alliance. Use the economic interest, economic tie to build alliance. And after they build that alliance, they will use their technology to control these countries. So that's how they are going to, how they're trying to control these countries. Now, think about this. Back in March of last year, I mean, China, remember the Nebraska, I'm sorry, the Alaska Diplomacy Summit, China, the Chinese top diplomat meeting Tony Blinken and U.S. diplomats, and the China's top diplomat say straight to Tony Blinken. Remember what he said? He said United States is not qualified to speak to China. That's what he said in front of all the international media. And guess why they tried to do that? They want the public image of a global leadership that's able to challenge U.S. global leadership. Because once they have the public image, there will be more developing nations jump into the line, follow China's wagon. That's what they're trying to do.
So really, really, this pact that you mentioned, this pact that's kind of going 2.0, is really a challenge to NATO. It's really a challenge to the United States for supremacy and dominance. They're setting the stage for this. They've got a long-term goal. Joe is unwittingly becoming their puppet as he literally does everything they want him to do. Is Joe just ignorant, meaning Joe Biden, or is he doing this on purpose, do you think, Nan?
Well, the Western world has a long mistake in its China policy. It's not just the United States China policy, also NATO's China policy. Now, think about this. There's two ways in the last century of United States history dealing with communist regimes. One way was how we dealt with the Soviet Union, which we competed with them, eventually dragged their economy down. And then Soviet Union dissolved, right? But however, how we dealt with China was a completely different model. We keep throwing money, you know, more and more money to China. Now, just for your information, last year, the U.S. investment in China, I mean, the direct investment, not the trade, the money we invest in China, it was $125 billion. That's only from the United States and from the entire Western world. It was hundreds of billions. Think about this. During the Cold War time, if the Western world keeps throwing hundreds of billions of dollars to the Soviet Union, will Soviet Union never dissolve?
I want you to say that again because I want people to understand. Hold on, Nan. I want you to say that again because I don't think people realize this. Everybody in America thinks the Soviet Union kind of went away. It never dissolved is what you're saying, and that's factual.
Well, right now, China wanted Putin, you know, China's chairman Xi Jinping wanted Putin to be the second man in his, right now, still building the global alliance. They want Putin to be his second man and to support China in this, you know. So if you look at the top 10 nations ranked by GDP, China has no airline. And Russia ranked Russia's GDP ranked like a number, somewhere between number 11 and number 12. So China really going after Russia to have Putin to become Xi Jinping's second man. So that's why China can wait for the Ukraine crisis to escalate, because they know once Russia invades Ukraine and Russia is under the economic sanctions by the Western world, therefore, you know, Russia's economy will be entirely depending on China. So that's how they're going to get Russia into their new global alliance.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're flat out of time. Nan Su, senior China and Asia writer for Epoch Times on your radio, doing a phenomenal job. If you want to learn more, go to theepochtimes.com and check out the article, Beijing Can't Wait for Escalation of the Crisis Between the Ukraine and Russia. Okay, China can't wait for that to escalate. Joe Biden, intentionally or not, literally carrying that ball, helping that happen. It is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. Nan Su with the details about what's happening. Check that out. Any final statements? We're about out of time, Nan, but I wanted to give you a chance. Do you have a final parting statement people ought to absolutely know?
Stop the money that's going to China. Go check your retirement system. And if your retirement system is using like Vanguard, State Street, BlackRock, your money is going to China.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And what China is doing is funding the biggest military in the world with all of our dollars, that with a huge trade deficit that's been going on for decades. They've been building the greatest military the world's ever known in their goal to become a hegemonist nation. They've got a deadline of 2049 to make this all happen, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Nan Su. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sam, for having me.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, it's getting to be a crazy world. And there's very few willing to tell you the truth on it, huh? Epic Times doing a great job. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.